This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to This Week in the NFL. We're taping early this week on a Tuesday as your co-host here, the Cowboy, is heading out of town for a wedding, heading to the great state of Pennsylvania, about an hour outside of Philly. So, John, I'll run into some of your favorite fans. And I'm joined by, as always, the man, the myth, the legend, John D'Amato. How you doing, John?
All right, Cowboy, doing pretty good. It was kind of an upset Sunday in a lot of ways. A lot of upsets and a lot of upset fans, including this one. But
a lot of upsets this year in general. A lot of upsets.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right.
Shocking.
John is not as full of pizzazz as usual. I hope that's not the Giants getting you down, John.
Nah, it was the games in general. Locally, we got the Jets and Giants at 1 o'clock, and then those 4 o'clock games. Jesus Christ, if it wasn't for the red zone. And last night was Monday night was horrendous. Thank God for the. I guess we could start with the Colts and Chiefs, the biggest upsets. So we could start there. That was the saving game of the week. Even though, pretty much surprisingly, the Colts had it in hand most of the night.
Yeah, great performance by the Colts. Great. I mean, we talked about it a little bit on here about what their blueprint would be, and that's not rocket science, right? But they were really, really able to execute it. Long drives, not giving Mahomes a lot of chances. Great running game, great offensive line play, no mistakes from Brissett. But the real upset part of it is just how little the Chiefs were able to do offensively against a Colts team that was essentially running me and you out there in the defensive backfield. You would think that would be a recipe for disaster against the Chiefs, but they put heat on Mahomes. Mahomes seemed to be missing. You know, you can only do so much with no weapons, right? So, I mean, they're down their top receiver in Tyreek Hill and Sammy Watkins, as he's been known to do, got hurt on the first series of the game. Hurt me in a number of different ways, John. I know we don't talk about it on this show, but it was a tough little beat right there for Sammy. And just guys didn't seem to be open, good pass rush, and the Chiefs looked mortal for the first time all season. A great win for the Colts, but do you think this is a blip on the radar for the Chiefs, or do you think that there's a blueprint here that other teams can follow? I mean, they're getting Hill back this week, most likely.
Yeah, it's a blip on the radar, and plus a big injury, even though it didn't knock him out of the game, was Mahomes' ankle really hampered him.
Right, he couldn't. He was.
I thought
not moving around.
I thought for sure when they had like that third and 29 or whatever, and he got like 28 yards to set up that fourth and one. I thought they were in business there, but they just did their run play that got stuffed. And I think if he was healthy, Reed would have been more confident calling out a rollout and let Mahomes do some magic. But that was the big play right there.
I kind of blame Pringle.
They stuffed him up for.
I know he's like their sixth receiver and he had a good game, but I mean, he caught that ball. I mean, it really looked like, I mean, he was like running with freaking cement shoes on or something to not get the first down.
To come up short. Yeah, but that running play though had no chance from the start. That was a surprise. But yeah, you got to give Indianapolis credit, Justin Houston, and you know we talk about a guy.
Revenge
he's gonna
game.
Be on the. He's gonna be talking about Eberflus, the defensive coordinator. He's gonna be, you know, number one candidate for a lot of head coaching jobs next year. We talk about him a lot, and ever since he took over there, the Colts, the notoriously soft, non-defensive team, have really really changed the culture of that team.
Oh, I mean, they're as good as anybody in the trenches. I mean, they absolutely are. I mean, that offensive line manhandled the Chiefs the whole game long. I mean, they couldn't do anything. And the Colts get a much-needed bye week with all the injuries in the secondary. It gives them an extra week to heal up. I think they're for real. I mean, I think, we'll lead a little I'll just eat my crow now. So the loss to the Raiders by the Colts doesn't look quite as bad, given that the Raiders the Raiders are now 3-2 and showing signs of life. They have a good young running back. They also have a good offensive line. It shows what I should when I'm destroying teams, don't destroy teams.
And they have a great Hall of Fame coach too. They have a Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning coach.
He has won a Super Bowl. Yes. But we have to admit when we're wrong, and thus far I have been wrong. No matter what, I was wrong about the Raiders in that they're certainly not at the level of some of the really awful teams we have in the league. And there are a few: the Dolphins, the Bengals, the Redskins.
Yeah, I mean, in the AFC, right now, they got to be one of the favorites for a wild card, because that AFC outside of KC and New England is really horrendous. There's some bad teams in there. So right now, the Raiders and Bills are forefront for the two wild cards. Who would have called that one?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't like either of their chances. Potentially coming into Foxborough in January. But bring them on.
Yeah, but that would just be a successful season for either one of them if they hit a wild card in first and out. But getting back to the Colts, that's a big makeup because like you said, they had that Raider game as a W, and they took them soft on the count. And to come back and to get an unexpected win, that's got to spur them. But we'll see, because with the AFC South, man, these teams, when you expect them to win, the teams you expect to win, they lose, and the teams you expect to lose, they win in the South. Just a crazy division.
A little Jekyll and Hyde. A little Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah. The Titans, of course, they only pulled a 7-burger on Buffalo, and Cairo Santos hit the unemployment line with the 4 missed field goals. So
I'll tell you, though, the Colts' schedule is real nice coming off the bye. Yeah, home for Houston, that's a big game for them. Then home for Denver, at Pittsburgh, with who the hell knows who playing quarterback. And then home for Miami, home for Jacksonville. I mean, that's a nice five-game stretch there.
Yeah, you gotta
toughen up a little bit at
the
end. But, I mean, they have a real shot of being... I mean, 7-3, right? I mean, they can win 4 of those 5 games, maybe.
Yeah, ten games should take that division, sure.
But speaking of the the schizophrenic AFC South, how about that performance by Deshaun Watson and the Texans this week? You think that's more? He looked like. Incredible! It was really, an absolutely incredible performance by him and Fuller, and just the offense as a whole. They hung 52, I believe. I don't have it in front of me. I'm sorry, 53 on the hapless Falcons, who I picked to win that game. Never again, John.
That was one of the few. That was like one of the two I got right. 53. They also gave up 32. That was like a. One of those shitty college games that just go back and forth with no defense whatsoever.
That was just a horrible game to watch at Red Zone.
No defense whatsoever. Yeah, the Falcons look like they're in Quitsville, and I don't know what to say. I've been down on them all year, and they don't do anything to change my mind. They just look like a team that's quit, man. And they can't run the ball. They can't stop anybody, and. There's not much to say. We're not going to be talking much about the Falcons anymore in this show.
No. I mean, it's like it's again one of those. I think it's time for the coach to go. You know what I mean? They're not like the friggin' Bengals and stuff where they're like a shitty team. You know, they just have some good parts, and it's just I think we talked about this last week where. The sum isn't equal to the parts individually, and that has to be coaching on some level. Like Dirk Cutter's their offensive coordinator now, right? I mean, I thought he was a shitty coach in Tampa Bay. And, I mean, they can't get out of their own way. 53.
Sorry, Reg. They had the Shanahan was the key. They had a devastating running game, and that running game went out with Shanahan. Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the Niners, right?
Yeah,
devastating running game. With the
ex Falcon, right? Coleman, right?
Yeah, with Coleman and Breeder. I mean, I feel like Shanahan can almost just do it with anybody. He's kind of that kind of guy. You know what I mean?
And the Falcons haven't been able to run the ball since Shanahan's been gone. So that's that shows you where that credit went to. Similar to Gruden got fired, and wasn't McVay running his offense?
Yep.
So yeah,
absolutely.
So sometimes the wrong guy leaves and the wrong guy stays, and then as soon the Falcons will be looking for the next hot coordinator.
Absolutely. Hey, so real fun. I mean, this is not your kind of game, John, but pretty interesting game with the two third-year signal callers going head-to-head, Houston going into Kansas City. Houston's been schizophrenic, but Watson's been known to get hot throughout his career. If he's hot, I mean, this could be an absolute shootout. And I think more of a fun shootout, more of a well-played shootout than...
Yeah, I don't see the Chiefs losing two in a row at home. I'd be shocked. And I'm down on the Texans' defense. We saw it the week before. They let Carolina get past them.
You can really throw on them, which doesn't bode well. But I think that's it's a kind of a must watch game though. I think you got a good chance at like a 38-31 kind of shootout in that one, and get to see some points on the board, which I know, John, is not always your cup of tea, but
yeah, but that's
good
though. In New York, we'll be getting that at we get a nice doubleheader at 1 o'clock because the Giants are on Thursday and the Jets play at 4, so we got that one. I'll be tuned in.
Yes,
it's good to see the Texans. They're a team you don't get to see too often, so they're entertaining.
Speaking of the Giants, John, I mean, we did spend a lot of time on them last week. Eating a little crow here as well. So they're kind of one of two ways that game was going to go. One was what ultimately happened, which was kind of a get right game for Kirk Cousins in the Minnesota offense to come out and, you know, really take advantage of a defense that's been sort of taken advantage of a lot this year. The other was that Cousins could implode from the media pressure, and just he's never performed well under pressure. So I went with option B, not correct. The Vikings came out, they took care of business. The Giants had chances in that game, and just couldn't quite get it done. It was kind of I think that the Vikings are just a better team at this point in the road. And now the Giants coming into New England on Thursday, pretty much an impossible task, especially with multiple injuries on the offense, with Barkley and Gallman and Shepard and Engram, all their skill position guys are not going to play most likely in this one. So this is going to, I feel like, one of those where they're going to be trying to get out of there as unscathed and as quickly as possible. But should be a fairly easy win for the Pats.
Yeah, I'm not going to use the injuries as things, because even at a full strength, it would still be it wouldn't be much of a competition. But I'm just going to be relying on Bill has a lot of love for he started his career in New York. He's got a lot of love for the Maras and respect for the Giants organization. So hopefully that respect he'll pump the brakes and won't run up the score on the Giants.
Potentially. He could also remember those two Super Bowls and but not a ton to say there. And should be the Patriots, I think, are the biggest favorite of the week. They looked good but not great against Washington. I mean, they didn't have to look great to beat Washington. The one thing that does worry me a little bit is that just how obscenely easy the Patriots' schedule has been. And I mean, even this game, the Giants have been playing well, but I mean, they're getting them where it's probably like barely even a test, right? I mean, with all these guys hurt, then you're so Pittsburgh, Miami, the Jets. Buffalo was the one good team they played, and it was a close game. Washington, the Giants, then the Jets on Monday Night Football the following week. So the Patriots the Patriots get the Jets with 11 days rest. And then home for Cleveland, which looks like a complete gimme after what we saw on Monday night. And then finally, it does toughen up. At Baltimore, at Philly, home for Dallas, at Houston, home for Kansas City.
Yeah, that one tough stretch.
It's a tough stretch. Then you're at Cincy, bye week, home for Buffalo, home for Miami. So
that stretch, that's where you get the couple losses where you know, where the Patriot fans will declare that this the worst team of all time.
Well, I think they need. I mean, you can't just go and not be tested all year, right? Like, I mean, I think it'll be good for them to go in and maybe lose a couple of those games.
Of course, as long as they get the home field advantage, sure.
I was kind of considering going to the Cowboys game, their Sunday before Thanksgiving, but looks like the just to get in the door at Gillette's $389. That's pretty steep right there. So
We shall see.
Sometimes
those Cowboy fans travel well.
Money's no object, right? If you're going to go to one, you're just going to do what you got to do sometimes. But
YOLO,
exactly. So let's discuss in more detail here, Bears Raiders. So all kidding aside, this was really the most surprising result for me this week. And one, it is because of my lower opinion of the Raiders. But two, just looking at the game with the whole Khalil Mack revenge thing. And, I mean, the Bears seemed like they're the kind of, you know, they came in and coming off a nice victory over Minnesota, who I think is a better team in theory than the Raiders. And I mean, they just really didn't play well in this game, and specifically their defense didn't really play well this game. The whole Chase Daniel thing, right? I mean, I don't know if they win with Trubisky. I don't think so. I don't think Chase Daniel is really the reason that they lost. But the Raiders, like, tried to give them this game at least twice, not three times, and they just couldn't take it. So do you think, like, with the Chicago thing, if their defense isn't elite, right? If it can't just be good. If that defense isn't elite, I mean, they're really an average team, right? I mean, they're a 9-7, 8-8 team if that defense isn't truly elite. So do you think this was a harbinger of potentially them taking a step back and coming to that 9-7, 8-8, or just a little blip on the radar for them doing their thing?
If they don't force any turnovers, they have no running game whatsoever. And if Daniel is good as long as you keep him to, you know, 20-25 pass. But if he has to pass like 30 times, like in this game, he gets exposed. That was a horrific interception when he was trying to bring him back at that.
Oh, man, that was awful.
Yeah, so he gets exposed. So yeah, if you can't run the ball. And that defense isn't as devastating if they don't cause turnovers. And you got to give Oakland credit; they didn't turn the ball over, and they ran Jacobs 123 yards on this defense. So
he looked very good.
So sometimes this defense isn't exactly the 86 Bears.
Yeah, no, agreed. So we'll see what happens. That the bye week couldn't come at a better time for the Bears.
They might have took them a little lately.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, it's a little wonky playing in London, but that's a game you got to win, especially with the way the Packers, you know, the Packers had just lost, and we'll talk about that game next. But I mean, they got to keep pace with them, right? I mean, this was coming into this game, if you said told me one was going to win and one was going to lose, I wouldn't have said Green Bay was the winner. But they came out. They shut it. Go ahead.
They came out asleep, and but then they came back to take the lead. So
and then they let them drive down for a touchdown.
They couldn't close the deal. So you got to give Oakland credit too. They blew their big lead, but then they controlled the fourth quarter. They shut the Bears out in the fourth quarter, and they scored the only touchdown.
So I wanted to talk about Green Bay-Dallas next. We were way off on this one. We both had the same read here that Cowboys at home, we thought they matched up real well to Green Bay. And I mean, all credit to Rodgers and all credit to the Packers, you know, the Packers defense in the first half especially. But, I mean, they came out and just kicked the shit out of them. It was never really a game. I mean, the Cowboys, you know, tried to mount that late comeback, but it was never really, really in doubt. 31-3 in Dallas. Great performance by the Packers. I didn't know they had that one in them. Aaron Jones just ran completely wild, which was very impressive. Their defense was phenomenal in this game. Their run defense that was awful, so awful the week before against Philly, I mean, really showed up in a big way. Zeke, you know, in another way to kind of stifle the run game is to go up 28-0 or whatever that it was, right? So the team, so you make the team just have to throw it all over the place. But I mean, Dallas, like these two games, like, I mean, maybe it was a product of the schedule at the beginning of the year that they looked like one of the three or four best teams in the league. But I mean, that this is a bad loss for them, especially the way they lost the game. I mean, they did not look good at all. What were your thoughts there, John?
Yeah, I thought that those first three games, Dallas, they kind of like lulled them to sleep. They played three of the worst teams in the league, and you know, they won easily. They looked dominant and everything, and it just caused them to get overconfident. And once the competition rises, you can't just turn it on. And this is 2 weeks in a row, but at least it was optimistic for the way they came back in that second half. It was like a 31-3. I was like, this one's over. And they had a chance, 31-17, 10 minutes left. They got the ball, but Dak threw a horrible pick, and that was it. That was their last chance. But I think at 31-17, if Dak drives him down and cuts it to a touchdown game, I think they complete one of the greatest comebacks ever, and they get the job done. So they could be optimistic that they fought hard in that second half after being a
sleep. Cooper was incredible. I mean, they gave up a first-round pick for him, and usually, I mean, a lot of times that doesn't work out real well. And we blasted it, as a lot of people did at the time, but he really is. I mean, he was just stuck in a shit situation, not to blast the Raiders again. But, I mean, he really is like a true number one receiver, which there's not that many of. So
and Gallup came back too. Gallup came back.
He's a player too. I mean, they
sure.
They have an offense, and they go to the Jets this week. It shouldn't be this complete abomination of a Jets team like we saw against Philly on Sunday.
Darnold will be back.
With Darnold back, I mean, that poor team hasn't had like the ability to have an offense since he's been out. If they can somehow beat the Cowboys at home, I mean, that's huge panic button time for the Cowboys. But the way the Cowboys have played this year, you would think that in a game where they're going to be a pretty big favorite against one of the lower echelon teams, that they'll come out and take care of business. They'll be pissed off and they'll take care of business.
Yeah, otherwise there's going to be a heat on Garrett.
Oh, for sure.
As a coach, it's every year at this time. I mean, in Dallas, they have all the talent in the world, and it just seems like his teams always have games like these, always have these letdowns in the season, and especially they're one of the teams that needs a home field advantage more than everybody. They're not really a solid road team in the playoffs that could go in another house and beat them. They haven't proven that.
Right.
So,
you think they're gonna win?
Yeah, but I think the Jets got to give him a game. The Jets can't be as bad as they showed up with Darnold. But you know, with the Jets situation, it looks like what I've been watching from the Giants the last 2 years. Their offensive line is so horrific that they can't even run a basic play without three guys on top of the quarterback or even you know, on top of Bell, running back. When Bell's only averaging like, you know, 2.9 yards a carry, it's not on him. It's the offensive line.
It's so
horrific. Can't even run a basic play. And when that happens, that's the one unit that can't happen to. And it's going to make your team look as horrible as it is. And I've seen it with the Giants before this year. You can't do anything.
Right. And, you know, that's so true, John, because you look at some of the other shellackings this week, right? The Redskins, no offensive line at all. By the time McCoy planted his back foot, he was getting hit every single play. And the big example, and the one that none of us kind of saw coming into the year, was on Monday night, where, I mean, everyone, Baker. I mean, he didn't have 2 sacks. I mean, I'm not a big Baker Mayfield apologist or anything, but he didn't have any time. I mean, the Niners defensive line manhandled that Browns offensive line the whole game long. And that's not the first time it's happened to the Browns. And they're not going to be a playoff team. They're not going to be a decent team if they don't do something about that. I mean, it was really, really bad. So the Niners, we can move to that one. The Niners come in, and I mean, it was kind of a you pick 'em game in a lot of ways. Like, a lot of people were picking the Browns, and you know, not believing the 3-0 start for the Niners because it wasn't always pretty, right? I mean, their game against, I think it was specifically against
the Steelers.
They committed 5 turnovers, right, and still won the game. They finally looked the part in this one. I mean, that game was never close. From the first drive of the game, that game was never close.
I would I'll disagree slightly. At 14-3, that pass to Callaway that he deflected right up into that turner. If they make a 14-10, I think the Browns make a game of this. That one really sunk them, and they kind of quit after that. But I think if Callaway makes that play, and bad enough he dropped it, but he dropped it, you know, up into the hands, and it turned into a big interception and return, and then the Niners went down and made it 21-3. So I think it's a different game.
But you will admit, that offensive line got destroyed
in
that game.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a real issue. So this is probably the game, the low key, you know, maybe because it's on the West Coast or whatever. But the game of the week really is Niners at Rams, right? I mean, it's a big game. If the Niners can go into Los Angeles and win that 5-0. Up at least one game in the division, depending on what Seattle does in Cleveland. I guess you never know. That's one of those games that's like Seattle should win the game, but it's...
Yeah, I don't know. Cleveland seems to be
Jekyll and Hyde.
Good, one bad. Yeah, one
right.
week, so...
And Seattle's been good, but...
Yeah, they play close to the edge. I would look for the Browns. Both those games, I would look for the home teams. They're both going to be close, but I would look for the Browns and the Rams to give the first one to the Niners.
I kind of like the Niners. I really have been...
Wow, the Rams losing 3 in a row. Damn, man.
Their defense has been friggin' terrible. Like, I mean... I mean, really. Like, I mean, that's... And the Niners' defense, I think, is actually good. So the Rams, to win that game, are going to have to run the ball. Right, they cannot go into this full pass mode that they've had to do because that pass rush is too good. That guy Nick Bosa looks like, you know, like a super duper stud, right? now that he's healthy, and
but I think the Rams with the extra rest, maybe give them that, and the 49ers on a short week. So I'll give the Rams a defense a chance to step up. But they've been on the field a lot, giving up a lot of points, and to your. To your credit, they haven't run the ball as usual with Gurley. So they're really passing 40, 50 times, and they're not having much time of possession. So they're putting a lot of pressure on their defense, who's been on the field more.
Right. And, I mean, that they can't play the game that way. They'll lose the game if they play it that if they come out and try to chuck it around 50. Like that. They have to establish the run. And if Gurley can't carry the ball 20 to 25 times because of the knee. I mean, you got to work Malcolm Brown in, and you got to give him 10 carries. That's their path to victory in this game. If they come out and let those guys pin their ears back, you know that San Francisco with Shanahan is going to come out, and the way the Rams defense has been playing, they're going to be able to move the ball on them, both through the air and on the ground. I like them throwing to the running backs. I'd like potentially Marquise Goodwin with one of those home run big plays that he does in this game with, you know, Peters, the, you know, instant offense for the other team guarding him. But Yeah, it's tough to envision the Rams losing three in a row, but I think if you really like look at the way these two teams are playing, I think the Niners are a terrible matchup for them right now. I don't think they match up well. I don't think the Rams' strengths match up well to what the 49ers' strengths are, and I think the 49ers can take advantage of their weaknesses. The one caveat to that is that Jimmy G can't give it up. That would be the one caveat. If Jimmy G turns it over a couple of times, that turns the whole thing, because it's a close game. But I like the Niners in a little bit of an upset, 27-24.
To your point, I think the Rams are going to establish a little more running game, because even like last night, Monday, Chubb still had some yards on the ground, 87 yards, even though Cleveland was behind and passing most of the game. They still got some ground yardage out on the Niners. So we'll look for the Rams to get their running game going.
Yeah, then I mean, it was a good segue there, John, with Seattle Cleveland. So Russell Wilson is kind of everybody's MVP right now, right? He's got them off to a surprising start at 4-1. With a big win against the Rams last week that they kind of pulled out of the fire with the missed field goal at the end. I'm really down, and I know it's like probably a recency bias thing, but it's tough to watch that Browns team last night and pick them to beat a decent team. I don't even in Cleveland. Like, I mean, Seattle's got a little bit of a pass rush. Mayfield looks like, I mean, shell-shocked, like deer in the headlights. Beckham is, I mean, just be honest about it. Other than really like one big play and he had one game with two big plays. I mean, he's been like a colossal disappointment for them, right? I mean, he's been awful.
I don't want to mention it because, it would seem biased, because obviously I got bias against him. But yeah, you hit it right on the head. You take that one meaningless play at the Jets, and the stats are very mundane. And there were a couple of little dropsies early on, and that could have made a difference. He could have got a couple first downs where he had his hands on some balls in the first half when it was still a game. And I'm glad you said it. But the Browns just seem to be one good, one bad. They did play a great game last week versus the Ravens. So I'll look them for to have their first good game at home and to squeak by Seattle here. Yeah. But it's tough to pick them. Teams so inconsistent and with all that stuff going on.
I mean,
yeah, that's good.
I feel like if the going gets like I can't in my heart of hearts say that I think this version of Baker Mayfield that we're seeing or behind that offensive line is gonna beat Russell Wilson, even in Cleveland. I just can't do it, and I might be wrong, but I'm going with the road team there as well. I think Seattle's legit good too, which I don't know if everybody feels that way, but I think the Browns are really teetering on potentially being like super shitty again, which is such a kick in the balls to that fan base. Really, I mean, they're supposed to be good this year, and it just sucks. So home for Seattle, right? And then they have their bye week, and then they're at the Patriots, right? So, I mean, if they lose both of those games, which is very possible, they're 2-5. And it feels like the wheels are coming off. Then you're at Denver. That's not an easy game. Home for Buffalo. That's not an easy game. Then you get Pittsburgh, Miami, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Arizona, where they should at least go 4-1 there, but the season might be freaking lost by that point.
Yeah, but that division, nobody's running away in that division. That division may be a 9-7 may get in there. So we'll see. They seem to be every week, but there was a bad sign in that second half. They laid down after they got punched in the mouth. Yeah, that's a bad sign for a new coach that supposedly they all like. He's a players' coach and all that, but yeah, after they got punched in the mouth a couple times, they tapped out.
It kind of starts at the. I mean, again, and this is not. These are not points that I generally make. I generally believe more in talent than some of this stuff. But with the your two leaders of your team being Mayfield and Beckham. Really, are there two guys in the league who are more like? I mean,
not a leader,
self-centered and like, you know, patting themselves on the back and very quick to.
I've seen it for years.
Pass off blame.
The typical play.
But like Mayfield is kind of like that too as a quarterback. I mean, he's just a kid, but I mean, he definitely was reading his own press clippings and like super arrogant coming into the year. And I know that's his style, but. Yeah. It just seems like a little bit of a toxic combination because it's, again, guys like that. You know, think of a guy like Russell Wilson, who is a great player. You never see him roll over and die like that. Ever, 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 ever. And it's just a different mindset, right? And these both of those guys are guys that, like, when the going's good, they're fantastic. But as soon as things get tough, they kind of want to pack it in. Right, and fucking blame everybody else,
or even worse, try to be a hero. Like the stupid play with Beckham. I don't know what the score was. When he tried the punt return and he fumbled. Yeah, I mean, you know,
I think it was 28-3 at the time. But it was
it was meaningless. You know, the score was way dumb. But that's just a typical where he says, "Oh, I was trying to pick my team up." You know, trying to pick a team up. If you caught the balls in the first half, you know your team would have been down like that. It's just, you know. Yeah, he doesn't have what it takes to be a leader. So.
And when you're that good, I mean, when you're supposed to be that good with the money he makes and being, I mean, he's paid like he's one of the two or three best receivers in football, right? It shouldn't really matter what team you're on. Like, I mean, is he really in a worse situation than in New York? I don't think so, but his production has just fallen off a cliff. And, I mean, there's something to that. There has to be something to that.
You see in the red zone, Baker doesn't even look for him. He's passing to Callaway, Ratley, Landry, everybody. He's just Beckham's just a $20 million decoy, man.
He threw a nice pass to Landry, though, this week. It might have been the best throw that anyone made for that team in that game. But, yeah, so we'll see what happens. It's really, that's a make-or-break game for Cleveland. I can see him going into a real downward spiral if they lose. Next up, John, I want to talk about my Panthers.
Yes, let's go to London.
Let's talk first about Jaguars-Panthers, which for me was probably the best game of the day, right? I think it was the best game of the day. Fun to watch. A couple of young quarterbacks, both kind of up-and-coming sort of teams. Some good young players on both teams. Christian McCaffrey. We talked him up last week, as we should have, and I mean, he did not disappoint. He's the new age LaDainian Tomlinson, Marshall Faulk, with what he's doing. I mean, he's talk about putting a team on your back. And Minshew, on the other side, didn't get the win, but certainly held his own against a good defense. He had a very good game, threw for 375 yards, had four Hail Marys at the end of the game. I couldn't believe he didn't complete one of those. I thought he was completing one, and we were actually talking at the time, John. He's completing one, and then Mighty Marone was going for two to try to win the game. And it looked like the one to Fournette was the closest one to being complete. It almost happened. But the Panthers, I mean, it's not like the Jaguars played a bad game, and the Jaguars, especially offensively, played a good game. For the Panthers to go out there and hang 34 on the Jags, good defense, even without Jalen Ramsey, three-game winning streak, Christian McCaffrey's in the MVP conversation. The defense looks like it's for real. We're back on the train, baby. We're back on the train, John. How about you?
The Panthers looking good. But going on the Jaguars side, They're kind of like Cleveland, a Jekyll and Hyde team. One good week, one bad, and especially that defense. One week they look dominating, and then weeks like this where they're just giving up 80 yards, where the running back doesn't get touched. Although, you know, you got to give credit to McCaffrey; he's great and all that. But that defense, you punch them in the mouth early a couple times, and they have some weeks where they just don't play. They lay down, and they really could have used Ramsey in that game because a couple stops and. They would have given them the edge, and would have given Minshew wouldn't have to do so much work.
How about DJ Shark?
Yeah, they have talent on offense.
I mean, that's a heck of that's a nice hitting on a second round pick like that. I mean, he came from nowhere. I mean, he's really, really, really good. I'm really impressed with him.
They got a lot of talent on a team. That's why, you know, I hate to be repetitive, but I don't understand why Ramsey. Well, what kind of situation would he want to be in?
He's just dug in at this point. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, he got Coughlin insulted him, and yeah, he's got his mind made up. Sure.
So we have a real interesting game for the Jags this week with Teddy Bridgewater and the Saints going to Jacksonville. Bridgewater coming off his best game probably as a professional was really, really fantastic in the Saints win last week. Really, really. I mean, he was great. I mean, Mike Thomas had 180-something yards receiving. It was a real great performance against the Tampa Bay team that was coming in pretty hot. So, Saints going to Jacksonville, Bridgewater versus Minshew. Who do you like in that one, John?
Oh, man.
It's a tough one, isn't it? It's a little tougher than it should be for me. Because you want to say Saints.
To pick an AFC South team is like suicide. But I'll give the Jaguars a slight edge. They seem to be on a one good week, one bad week, and even though I wouldn't actually call it a bad. That wasn't a bad loss to the Panthers. They fought hard to it, but I'll give the Jags to the edge. It's gonna be a close one.
Could be a low scoring game.
Yeah, Bridgewater is as expected. I don't understand that. Yeah, I'm glad you don't hear the Saints. The Taysom Hill fan club is calmed down. A lot of Saints fans wanted him to play. Bridgewater solid. He is what he is. He's a game manager, and he's a winner. Look at his record. He was successful with the Vikings. It took him to the playoffs. He doesn't have fancy stats. He's not going to win you a fantasy championship, whatever. But he gets the job done. But I'll look for the Jaguars to squeak this one out.
Yeah, I think it's a real coin flip.
Yeah, the Saints defense it's tough to bet against that Saints defense is really it's one of the best defense I ever seen for the Saints, a notoriously a longtime soft team. They're really changing their reputation as a tough team who's going to be a tough out in the playoffs.
If I knew Ramsey was going to play, this is a game he would make a real difference in, because they only have, it's like a perfect game for him, because they only have one receiver, really, right? I mean, Thomas is really the only receiver on the team.
Well, and Kamara is...
Of course. But as a wide receiver, I mean, it's a perfect matchup for a guy who follows the best team's wide receiver and erases him, which is what Ramsey does. But I don't think he's going to play, and because of that, I'm going to pick the Saints. If Ramsey plays, I think the Jaguars win the game.
Yeah, that's great. Ramsey's probably going to. Yeah, Ramsey's going to a back specialist somewhere.
I know.
It's in another state. Yeah, there's no back specialist in his own state. He's got to go to another state. So.
Did you see him after the game with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, I don't. It's a tough situation there.
Tough situation is correct, John. Want to touch on this one real quick. What's wrong with the the Los Angeles Chargers, John? Are they just not good? The 0-4 Denver Broncos, led by Joe Flacco, go into Los Angeles, which I know they don't have a great home field advantage there, and I know there were a lot of Broncos fans there, and it's like that every time for their home games. But just an uninspiring performance by the Chargers. The Broncos defense played good, I guess, but I mean, to get shut out in the first half, to give up 14 in the first quarter to Joe Blow. I mean, this is not the 12-4 Chargers from a year ago. I mean, do you think they're just in the tank, or do you think they can kind of right the ship and at least make the playoffs? Because I mean, they have been not good. That's a bad loss. I think that's the worst loss of the week for any team.
Yeah, they could right the ship, because the AFC doesn't look too strong, and they usually come out of 9-7 typical. But they're another schizophrenic team that you can't count on. And Rivers, he's got to have the most career interceptions in the end zone, in the other, you know, in the opposing, in the red zone end zone. Just another bad one. When Flacco was trying to give them the game and put them back in it, and Rivers threw a pick in the end zone. That's another team you can't figure out. And you'd be crazy if you're a gambling person to bet four right. against a Charger game. You get a.
So you get a. You get a just an awful Sunday night game. It's a shame they can't flex out of this with the Steelers led by kid actually played pretty good. What's his name? Devlin
Hodges. Yeah,
Devlin Hodges.
That's going back to what we were talking about, like with the you know with the Jets, et cetera. If the Steelers, if you got a good offensive line, you could put people behind a you know third or fourth string quarterback won't look as bad. As they do with other teams, and they could be at least competitive. But now they lost Samuels, and it just keeps getting worse for the Steelers. Yep. So.
Yeah, I mean, the Chargers have to win that game at home, right? I mean,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Can you imagine Devlin takes him? I mean, if Flacco can do it, anybody can do it because he is awful.
Yeah, he tried to give him the game. The Chargers didn't want it.
Agreed. Let's see what else we got here, John. I think we hit on all the... we didn't make our Carolina-Tampa Bay pick for the London game. Tampa Bay, not with a terrible showing against the Saints. I'm going with the Panthers too, John. Yeah, I think the class is starting to show in that team. A little bit of a rough start. They might go 14-2, John. You never know.
Plus, it's a revenge game. The Bucs beat them earlier. And really, but that was the last game that Cam played.
Right.
So now we're with Allen, well. I think the Panthers are in better
shape. I took Carolina in my survivor pool in that game and got knocked out in week two, as I do every single season.
Yeah, I think the Panthers want some revenge in London because the Bucs really bullied them. They took over the line of scrimmage. A lot of fourth down stops. McCaffrey didn't go off, so I look for the Panthers' revenge in this game.
One other one, John. Two teams coming in off victories. Philly at Minnesota. Philly,
nice one.
You can't gauge too much from that performance. I mean, the defense scored two touchdowns. The Jets were not an NFL team. They did not have an NFL offense for that game. So it's like one of those kind of a who cares performance, right? Where you can't say anything too positive or too negative or really learn anything about Philly from that game. Minnesota had a little bit of a more difficult test. I thought it was good for Cousins to come out and throw the ball like he did. I thought he played well. And you can, I mean, that's the, because to beat Philly, they're probably not going to, I mean, as good as Cook is, you don't really run on Philly. I mean, they're pretty much the best run defense in the NFL, but you can throw on them. So it's going to be on Cousins to win that game. And, you know, I'm changing my tune. I think he can do it. I think he maybe turned a little bit of a corner. He's got some confidence back in Minnesota. I don't think they're going to score 35 points or anything, but I think the defense will hold down Philly's offense enough to win a close one.
Cousins 4-18 versus winning teams, so that didn't come into account because last week the Giants were 2-2. I don't know what the record is versus 500 teams, but Cousins kind of eats up on below 500 teams. But Philly's 3-2 over 500, so Cousins gonna be 4-19 versus teams over 500. I'm going with Philly here.
All right. Well, we shall see, John. And why don't you tell us about, but before we go here, we previewed all the meaningful games.
Yeah, you
want
to hit on Lions and Packers?
I'm sorry. I forgot about the
Packers
Monday night game.
Monday night, yeah.
Very good game.
Yeah, the Lions coming off a bye. I'll look for that. I'll go with the Packers at home.
Lions coming off a bye. It's tough winning in Lambeau. But we know that Patricia likes cheese. So
he likes meat. He likes cheese. He likes cake.
I got a great story. So I was celebrating. I mentioned this before, I think, but I was celebrating. Yeah. 15 years at the company I work for. So we had a the celebration was at Gillette Stadium, and we got a tour of Gillette Stadium, and they took us into the visitors' locker room, and they were showing us. The visitors' locker room looks essentially like a Planet Fitness, like it's not. They don't have it all dolled up, but they were discussing about how both pre and post game they have tables full of food in there. They do. It's all set up, tables full of food. And the tour guide, who was also a security guard, not trying to be funny, but just said it like this, said, yeah, and Matt Patricia would always come in here and steal at least a sandwich or a donut every game. And all I could think of, John, was us. And, he kind of said it very much in passing. Oh, you know, you got guys like Matt and Patricia who would come in here and take the food. I was like, we know he did.
We're right. Terrible fat shamers.
I digress. But Lambeau's a tough place to go. But everybody's right. This feels like one of those trap games for me, where everybody's flying high on the Packers after what they did in Dallas. The Lions are coming off a bye. The Lions always play them tough. I like the Lions to go in here and get a W. Home field means nothing this year. The road teams, I think, are like 12 or 13 games over 500 outright this year. And I think the Lions are actually a pretty good team. And with what Cooper did to that secondary last week, I think Stafford can get some work done. Little Kenny Galladay with the big game in Lambeau.
All right, we'll see. I'm going to stick with the Pack.
And there's going to be milkshakes all around after that one, baby.
Matty P.
So, John, you got anything you've been doing here on the network that you'd like to talk about?
Yes, sir. We have our Extreme Three-Way Dance is bi-weekly, or sometimes we go weekly with the King and the Queen, with JT and Jenny. We discuss some ECW action. And also we recorded what's affectionately known as Old Cast. We talked about 1978, a year that's near and dear to the hearts of every Bostonian. I believe there was something called the Boston Massacre. The Boston Massacre occurred that year. We went.
Yep.
You're gonna want to listen to that. We went in depth about how
Bucky Dent.
Yes, we went.
Dent. That's what we call him around here, you know.
Yeah, we went down memory lane about the great year Ron Guidry had, and how a lot of people don't know, but that was where the birth of the like the two strike clap was during Ron Guidry's great year. It started when he was getting all those strikeouts in Yankee Stadium. A pretty historic year with Billy Martin getting fired and everything. So. And we also talked a lot of other great things in 78. Grease, Animal House, a lot of great movies came out. So look for that. And also me and the boss, Andy, look for A Pop Goes to the Movies that's going to drop. We both saw The Joker, and we're going to spit on that.
Oh, how was it? Without giving away too much. Good? Worth going to see?
Well, it depends on what kind of movies you like. It was very dark. It's not your typical Marvel movie.
I like Joaquin Phoenix, though. He's a good actor.
Yeah, it's more on the lines if you liked like Taxi Driver or Falling Down.
I did.
If you like movies like that are dark, not too many happy moments, but about a deranged person with some illness. If you like movies like that, but it's definitely not a superhero comic book feel good movie, but a great performance.
All right. So 78 was a shit year here for New England. So not only did you have the Bucky Dent thing, but it was the blizzard of 78, which everybody around here will tell you, people were supposed to just be like a little dusting, and it just hit like a ton of bricks, and then people got like stuck at work and like awful stuff. And that was the last year in New England that the cowboy wasn't around. I came into the earth in 79. So it was a tough year all around. So here on the let me tell you everything else we have going on here at Place to Be Nation, here on the Pop Feed. First off, you want to continue to check out our weekly shows. We have the Hard Traveling Fanboys go off the page and kick off their annual Walking Dead month with the discussion of Fear the Walking Dead, Season 4, Episode 1. As we're in October, Scott continues his look at the classic Universal Monsters in the latest edition of Pop Goes the Classics with 1931's Frankenstein. DC For You kicks off a month of DC Comics' best horror offerings with a list of Russell and Todd's favorite scary DC stories, plus a look at the Keanu Reeves Constantine film from 2005. I think I mentioned last week I'm a big, big fan of Constantine. This week in the NFL, as you know, hits weekly as well with myself and Mr. D'Amato recapping the last set of games and previewing the upcoming weekend's batch, as we just did. And it's so much more than that, so please continue to listen. Siblings Kevin and Mary host the Brother Sister Rewatch podcast. On episode 19, they bring you The Office, season 3, episodes 9 and 10. On Laugh-In Theater number 12, Andy welcomes David Sunday to live watch So I Married an Axe Murderer, which is not Throw Mama from the Train, as we talked about last week. On the latest episode of PTBN's E-Ticket Attraction, Jason welcomes Andy to discuss that other theme park in Orlando, Universal Studios Florida. And later in the show is joined by his friend Starla Marie Locke to recap Universal's Halloween Horror Nights. The Greatest Song of the 80s tournament has concluded with the winner being A Sweet Child of Mine by Guns N' Roses. Great song, great band. Not who I would have chosen, but would have been in my top 10, so I guess that's good enough. Who is your number one, John?
Prince, When Doves Cry, or even Michael Beat It.
See, I was a Purple Rain guy.
Yeah, you know, I look. It's weird. I look at Guns N' Roses more of a '90s band, but there's no
late
complaints
80s.
About it.
Right, yeah, it was like 88, 89.
Yeah, I don't relate it to the 80s, but it's a great song, though. No qualms. And it was a lot of fun. The tournament was a lot of fun, very competitive.
Absolutely.
Great opinions, great debates and stuff. And we got another tournament coming up, which will be announced next week when the bosses do the main PTV wrestling podcast. They'll announce it Monday.
Thanks. Just took the words right out of my mouth there, John. So whatever the tournament is. So our greatest song of the 90s tournament, I believe, was won by Metallica, Enter Sandman, if I'm not mistaken. And then Sweet Child of Mine, Guns N' Roses, winning the greatest song of the 80s tournament. We gotta broaden our horizons a little bit, guys. All right? Everybody likes hair metal, but Prince. Prince. Anyway, check out our brand new podcast feed brought to you by our very own Jennifer Smith. The Jenny Position can be found on Podbean, iTunes, and your favorite podcatcher app. It will be the new home of Geek and Sassy, Talk and Pop, Freak Out Drive-In, and lots of fun new content. For the month of October, Place to Be Nation is holding our first annual Halloween Movie Challenge. We're giving you suggestions on what movies you should watch leading up to All Hallows Eve. And when you do, go on social media and let us know by using the hashtag PTBN Halloween Movie Challenge. But why stop there? Every time you watch a scary or silly horror movie or special, let us know and we'll add it to our list. Over at the PTBN Wrestling feed, Chris and Devin are back to break down the latest WWE pay-per-view, Hell in a Cell, on PTBN's Instant Reaction Show. I would imagine that was all positive feedback. I'm just guessing. I did not listen, so I might, though. I didn't realize that was up. On the Place to Be podcast, JT and Scott begin a new decade as Steve Bennett joins them for the January 15th, 1990 MSG House Show. On the latest PTBN Extreme Three-Way Dance, JT, John, and Jenny continue their ECW adventure with When Worlds Collide. On main event number 134, Scott, Nate, and Steve preview the Wednesday Night War between AEW and NXT, plus New Japan Classic Match Pick. Ben Zaney interviews Ian Rigaboni, plus Marco and Logan Stunt on episode number 23 of Row 1, Seat 1, and then welcomes Impact Wrestling's Ethan Page on a very special episode number 24. Don't forget to check out placetobenation.com each and every day. We have new voices and fresh takes bringing you articles on topics in the worlds of wrestling, sports, and pop culture. But don't forget about veteran columns like every Wednesday we've got the most interesting and unexpectedly funny stories on the World Wide Web in Glenn's Weekly Walk. For college football fans, Scott Criscolo and Logan Crossland have their weekly campus hot takes, looking back at the previous week and looking ahead to the biggest matchups. Catch their weekly column every Tuesday afternoon. And if you're doing online shopping over at Amazon.com, be sure to click on the Amazon banner on the right side of the Place to Be Nation homepage, or use www.placetobenation.com/Amazon, and it takes you right to the Amazon and helps out Place to Be Nation with no cost to you. Last but not least, check out our social media pages and message board at www.bigelow34.proboards.com for information on joining our greatest wrestler ever, pay-per-view and TV match ever project. Get in on the conversation today and start researching your list. A lot of great stuff we have, John.
Yes, sir.
We are very fortunate.
And hopefully we keep adding great stuff every week. We're on a good roll. We haven't missed a week yet.
Absolutely. I'm going out of town, too. This would have been a definite miss last year, John. We're really on our game.
Yep.
So we're at the hour mark, guys. We know people have things to do. We have things to do. I have to pack. So we're going to let you go. Everybody enjoy the game. Thursday, you know, tune in. Don't give John a hard time. Sunday, enjoy your games Monday, and we'll be back Tuesday or Wednesday of next week to recap everything for you. As I always say, reach out to me, reach out to John, Twitter, live chats, Facebook, text message, email, phone call. However your preferred method of communication is, reach out to us, and we will incorporate you into next week's show. So, as per usual, for John, I'm the Cowboy, and I'm out. Enjoy the games.
Yep.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
Place to Be Nation's JT Rosero and Chad Campbell here. We want to let you know that we have over 24 podcasts available on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and PlaceToBeNation.com. We now offer them to you on two great feeds. On the Place to Be Nation Wrestling feed, we dive into topics running the gamut from today's WWE to the glory days of yesteryear and the ins and outs of the territory days. In addition to our full-length shows, we also deliver to you special pod blasts on topics old and new.
The Place to Be Nation pop feed is a veritable treasure trove of great content. Offer tremendous shows covering the land of movies, television, life, comics, and sports, brought to you by the most knowledgeable and insightful folks in the podcast world.
You can find all these great shows, plus archives of our past podcasts from over the past 8 years as well, by subscribing to both feeds on iTunes. And while you're there, be sure to rate and leave feedback as well. All of these shows, plus others, available on PlaceToBeNation.com, where we cover pro wrestling, sports, movies, comics, plus in-depth stretch projects, and much more. Be sure to support our site by using www.PlaceToBeNation.com/Amazon when doing your online shopping. We want to thank our friends at Boneheads, Wing Bar, ProWrestlingOnly.com, and TheHistoryOfWrestling.com as well. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Tumblr. PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture.